So welcome tonight to session two of our Get Growing series that we have begun here on Wednesday nights. I am so grateful that you're here. I'm so grateful that you're tuning in. I'm so grateful that you be perhaps watching this at a later time. I think this is one of the most important series that I have ever done. I think it's a very significant series for all of us as Christians, no matter how long we've been Christians. So let's pray, shall we? Lord, I ask that you would bless this time by the power of your Spirit. I pray that this time would bear fruit for your glory now and many years in the future. Speak to each one of us. Challenge each one of us. Put it securely in our heart that we want to grow. We want to grow. And teach us how to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's what we're doing on Wednesday nights. We're learning how to grow spiritually as Christians. And as a guide to our discussion on spiritual growth, we're using this wonderful diagram that was developed by Dawson Trotman way back in the 1930s with the Navigators. It's a simple diagram. You have it in your hands. It's on our screen. It's posted PDF format at our website. It's a simple diagram to understand, but understand that every single detail is intentionally meaningful. So last week in session one, we talked about three details. First, the most obvious, it's a wheel. Wheels imply motion. Spiritual growth implies motion. You have to continue in your growing. And I challenged you last week to make a commitment to try to spiritually grow for the rest of your life on planet Earth. Keep growing. Then the center of the wheel, the hub of the wheel, Christ. If you're going to grow as a Christian, then Jesus must be the very center of your life. Everything in your life should revolve around Christ. And I challenged you last week. Let Jesus be the Lord of your life, the center of your life. Let everything in your life revolve around him. And then we also spoke of the rim of this wheel. The rim represents obedience where the rubber meets the road. And I challenged you last week, if you want to grow as a Christian, be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ in every aspect of your life. He's the center of your life. He's the Lord of your life. And grow in your obedience towards him. So tonight, we're going to start with the spokes. How many spokes do you have on the wheel? You have four spokes. Those four spokes represent the fundamental activities of Christian growth. They represent the disciplines of spiritual growth that you are to keep for the rest of your life as a Christian in order to grow. And I got to tell you, it's brilliant. You notice that there are two vertical spokes? That's intentional. It speaks of your interaction with God as you grow. And then you notice that there are two horizontal spokes. That represents your interaction with others on the horizontal plane of life as you grow. Tonight, we are going to look at that spoke that's reaching up towards God. The discipline that we call prayer. Listen, brother and sister in Christ, listen. If you want to grow as a Christian, then prayer must become a consistent discipline in your life. You are to pray. Spend time in prayer. Now, I want to start right at the very beginning here. What is prayer? Well, prayer is direct communication with God. Prayer is, in a Christian sense, you speaking to God, talking to God out of a personal relationship that you have with God. Okay, now understand something. As a Christian, when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you asked Jesus to be your Savior, when you responded to the gospel message, when you invited him into your life, you entered into a personal relationship with God. You became a child in the family of God. God literally became your heavenly Father. And as a child in the family of God, you have direct, personal, intimate access to God in prayer. You can go directly to God. You don't have to go through anybody else. You don't have to go through another Christian. You don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through a saint. You don't have to go through Mary. It's always good to have leaders and pastors pray for you, but understand you get to go to God directly yourself. And God is always available to you. You have access to him 24/7. God is never out of the office. God is never sleeping, amen? God is never too busy helping other Christians out. He is always absolutely, completely, and totally available to you. Now, I want you to let that sink in. You have 24/7 personal, direct, intimate access to the Creator of all things, to God Almighty, to God All-Powerful, the All-Knowing One, the All-Loving One. You get to go to Him. That's one of the most beautiful things about the Christian faith. You have access to God, and you get to pray. You get to talk to Him, and He hears you, and He has time for you. Now understand, when you're talking to God, just be yourself. You don't have to use a very, you know, like a special prayer voice. Have you ever heard Christians, they're talking to you in their normal voice, and then they start to pray, and all of a sudden it's this prayer voice? You don't have to have a prayer voice. You don't have to adhere closely to a special Christian prayer vocabulary. You don't have to pray in the King James Version. Listen, you can talk to God just the way you talk. Be yourself. Talk to God like he's your best friend. Now, show him respect. He's God after all, right? But just talk to him. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to pray with brand new Christians. I love to hear a brand new Christian pray. Because, you know, they haven't learned how to pray yet, right? And they're so innocent. They're so transparent. I had a good friend who became a Christian. And I had the pleasure of leading him to Christ and being able to spend some time with him. And just hearing his first prayers. I'll never forget this prayer he prayed once. Lord, it's such a beautiful day. This is how he starts his prayer. And I really hope you're having a good day. And here's how my day's going. And could you help me here, God? Just such a breath of fresh air. Just talk to him. You get to talk to God. There is no formal prayer posture that's required when you pray. You can pray in any posture. Now, I oftentimes will pray with my head bowed and my eyes closed. And every time, a lot of times here, I'll tell, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes and pray. And that's to help us focus. You can do that. There are times where I literally kneel. I get on my knees and bow my head, close my eyes, and pray. That's a great posture. But you can also pray standing up. You can also pray with your eyes open. Did you know you can pray while jogging? You can pray in the shower. You can pray while driving. And then, of course, you better keep your eyes open when you're doing that, right? So just understand this incredible privilege and blessing that we call prayer, you talking to God in your way. It's beautiful. Okay, so what do we pray about? What's the content of prayer? What should we be praying about, folks? Well, let me put up this verse. Philippians 4, Paul writes, be anxious for what? Nothing. But in what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Brother and sister in Christ, pray about everything. Everything. There's nothing outside the limits of prayer. There's nothing too small for prayer. There's nothing too big for prayer. You get to talk to God about anything and everything. And make use of that. So, in your prayer life, there's oftentimes an element of worship and praise. And you know what you do there? You just praise God. You just tell God how awesome He is. How much you love Him and how much you appreciate Him. In your prayer life, there should be an element of thanksgiving where you just thank God. You thank God for all the blessings that you have in life. You thank God for your salvation. You be sure to thank God. Go back and thank God after He's answered one of your prayer requests. You spend time thanking Him. There's certainly an element in your prayer life that we call supplication. And that's literally letting your requests be made known to God. Gang, bring all your personal needs before God. All of them. Financial needs, health needs. Lord, help me pay the bills. Lord, help me with this job. Lord, help me with a health issue. Lord, help my marriage. Lord, help me to become a better husband, a better wife, a better parent. Help me become a better worker. Bring all that to the Lord. Every decision that you make in life, run that by God. Lord, lead me to the right school. Lord, lead me to the right job. Lord, lead me to the right career. Lord, should I move to this city or that? Bring all those things before the Lord. Lord, should I date this person? Lord, should I pursue marriage with this person? Or maybe you say, Lord, I want to be married. And then pray for your future spouse. And pray that you'll be patient. And allow the Lord to lead in your life. Bring all your dreams and aspirations to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, show me how I can be a part of your work. Bring all your hurts, all your tears, all your pain. Maybe say, Lord, I'm struggling with loneliness. Or I'm struggling with depression. Lord, there's this person that I'm struggling with at work. How do I deal with this person? Did you know you can cry before the Lord? Did you know that your tears are precious? In fact, He collects each one in a bottle. Did you know you can be angry You could even tell, Lord, I'm angry. I'm frustrated. You can be real. I mean, don't try to hide anything from God. He already knows how you feel, right? Express that. There's an element in your prayer life that we would call confession. Now, all of us as Christians, we're forgiven, but we're still sinners. We still blow it. We make mistakes. We say things we regret. We fall back into sinful behavior. When that happens, you go to the Lord and you confess it. You ask for restoration. My brother, my sister in Christ, be brutally honest with God about your struggles. And ask for help. And let him restore you. Then there's an element in our prayer life that we would call intercession. Intercession just simply means you pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for those that are closest to you. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for the physical needs of those that are close to you. Pray for the spiritual needs. Pray for relatives in your family that are unsaved, that they would come to salvation. Pray for relatives in your family that maybe they were walking with the Lord once, but they've sort of slipped back. Pray that they'd come back. Pray that the family members in your life would be spiritually fruitful. Oh, parent, listen, pray for your children. Pray, pray. Pray for their future teachers. Pray for their future marriages. Pray for their friends. If they're grown, pray for their marriages. Pray for those that are closest to you. And then, pray for your friends. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastor 1 hour every day. No, I'm just kidding. Although I will tell you, I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers. Pray for the leaders in your church. Pray for the leaders in your organization. Pray for missionaries. The Bible says that we're to pray for our nation. We're to pray for our president, our senators, congressmen and women, governors, mayors. Pray for everyone. Pray big. Pray that the gospel goes worldwide. Pray that the church worldwide has a revival. You see what I'm saying? Everything. Anything and everything. My brother and sister in Christ, listen. Share everything about your life with God. Include God in everything. Talk to God about everything. Let that be a discipline in your life and something that will continue and you'll continue to grow in for the rest of your life on planet Earth. Okay, I want to talk about three different venues of prayer, three different environments of prayer as we're growing as Christians. There is this thing called corporate prayer. We are to pray corporately. Now, what does that mean? That simply means that we're to pray with other Christians. The early church prayed together regularly. In Acts 1:14, says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, you look at the early part of Acts, and the church gathered all the time to pray. Praying with one another and for one another. We're commanded in the book of James, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray for one another. So as you're going to grow as a Christian, it's very important that you immediately began praying with other Christians. Now, whatever church you attend should give you plenty of opportunity to do that. So at this church, as you know, I'll call prayer meetings pretty regularly. We'll have a prayer meeting, and I would expect and wish that many of you would show up and we'd all get together and pray. I would argue that we have a corporate prayer meeting every time we have a service. You know, like what we just did before we started the teaching. That's worship, right? And we do that at every service. Do you realize that songs, worship songs, are basically prayers set to music? And we gather together and we lift our voices and we sing these prayers to God. Join in that corporate prayer effort. And you say, but I can't sing. That's okay. Join with your brothers and sisters in Christ in the spirit of that song, in that prayer. Corporate prayer. Okay, at our church, we have a men's ministry, we have a women's ministry, we have a youth ministry, we have a young adults ministry, we have a children's ministry, we have a silver cords ministry, we have all different kinds of ministries, and we've had different home fellowships over the years. So in every one of those ministries, there should be time where you can get in a small group and pray. And it's so important that you do that. In fact, that's one of the very first things you should do when you become a Christian. Start praying with other Christians. Now, you don't have to pray out loud. Some Christians are very shy and they don't want to pray out loud. And that's okay. But when somebody else is praying out loud, you pray with them. Right? And you'd be a part of that. And eventually, I would hope that as a Christian, you would grow to a place where you can pray out loud. And you can begin praying for others. So that's a very important part of your spiritual growth, praying with other Christians. Pray with your family. Pray with your spouse. Pray with your children. Have times where you pray together out loud. Certainly before meals, pray, and don't just make that something where, you know, it's just something you do before you eat, but turn it into a real thing where you're praying as a family, you're praying for each other. So we are to pray corporately. That's one very important venue of prayer. The second venue of prayer, I believe, is most crucial to your spiritual growth as an individual Christian. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6. But when you pray, go into your what? Your room, also in some translations, your closet. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Venue number two, listen carefully. Personal, private prayer. Just you praying. Regularly going to your prayer closet, your quiet place, and having a time with God where you pray. So I want to encourage you that you would do everything you can to have daily meetings with Jesus. Make appointments with Christ every day. And have this formal time of prayer with the Lord every day. Your favorite chair, maybe your favorite seat out on the back patio. Maybe in the basement somewhere, maybe just your special place where you meet with the Lord every single day and pray. And let me encourage you, and let me recommend that you would do this first thing every morning. First thing every morning. And that's because it sort of sets the stage for the whole day. quiet time alone with God in prayer every morning. You know, when you read through the Gospels, you read that Jesus prayed. And when would Jesus pray? It says several times he'd get up very early in the morning. And he'd pray. So I highly recommend that. It sets the stage for the day. Now, some of you are morning people, and that's cool. Maybe every day where you're working or whatever, a lunch break. Go have lunch with Jesus. Maybe there's a park where you work. Or maybe that's a time where you can get away and just have some quiet. Or maybe it's the end of the day. Whatever works for you, all I'm saying is have that quiet, alone, private time with God every day. And in those times, my brother, my sister in Christ, you're pouring your heart out. And it's in those times that you're praying about everything. Now, there's a lot that we can pray about. We just went through a whole list of what you can pray about, right? So it may become necessary for you to add some structure to that time. So a lot of Christians have developed for themselves something that they would just call a prayer list. Now, I know you can't see this, but this is just sort of a list that lists different things like praying for your church and praying for the work or job or friends. And so they've added structure to their daily prayer time. So, for instance, my structure. There are people that I pray for every single day. You know, I pray for Kim every single day. She gets my prayers every day. Because I want God's blessing upon her every day. I pray for my kids every day. Monday through Saturday, every day I pray. And then there's certain things that I will pray about myself every single day. I try to have worship time with the Lord every day. I try to remember to thank him. The pressing need of the hour or of the week or maybe something crazy that's going on in America, I pray. And then on Mondays, I'll pray for extended relatives, my parents, my brother. On Tuesday, I'll pray for one group of friends. On Wednesday, I'll pray for another group of friends. We all have a lot of friends. Make two groups of them. On Thursday, I'll pray for the church. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Missionaries. On Fridays, I'll pray for the nation. I'll pray for leaders here locally and nationally. Saturday and Sunday, totally open, free for all. Whatever I want to pray for. But just give yourself some kind of structure. Now, here's another recommendation. Start using a prayer journal. So a prayer journal is a journal like this that initially has a bunch of blank pages. And you fill it up as you go through it. So a prayer journal will oftentimes have your structure, whatever that is, your prayer list. You have it right there. And you can kind of go through it and pray through it. And I would recommend journaling. Sometimes write out your prayer. Sometimes, you're sort of recording what God has done in your life. You have a prayer request, and when God answers that prayer, you come back to your journal and say, when did he answer that prayer? You might even date it, and you do this daily, and it's an incredible thing, and it's an incredible way to keep you disciplined, focused as you pray. You know, it's an awesome way to look back and remember what God did. You know, there's times where I'll take out journals way back in college, that I did way back in college, and you can see what God was doing in your life way back then. There are many different types of journals. Get one, start filling them out. Every year at Christmas, there's one gift. I give her more gifts, but Kim gets this one gift every year at her request, and so she gets a new journal for the new year. And it's usually this beautiful calendar. It's by date and all of that, and she just loves to journal and put her prayers. I would recommend that. Okay, in your quiet time with the Lord, in your time of prayer, there are different models that you can follow that I've used in the past. Here's one that's called ACTS. A stands for adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, S, supplication. There's been some years where I had ACTS in my journal, and that's kind of how I would remind myself as I prayed. First, I adore, then I confess, then I thank him specifically things, and then the different supplications. There's a great model that you can follow after the Lord's Prayer. Remember when Jesus taught us to pray? The disciples asked him to pray. And the Lord said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What are you doing in that part of the prayer? Hallowed be your name. You're praising him. You're adoring him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, do your work here. Give us this day our daily bread. There's your daily needs. There's your supplication, your personal requests. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, when Jesus taught us that prayer, that doesn't mean that we're to repeat that prayer verbatim every time we pray. It's a model. And in your time of private prayer, follow that model. Go for it. Okay, now listen, I want you to hear this very, very clearly from me tonight. All of these things are recommendations. None of these things are right. I'm not saying that you have to do these. I'm not saying that you have to have a prayer journal to have a prayer life. I'm not saying that you have to have your list. I'm not saying that you have to do it every morning. Do not turn this into a legalistic thing. This is all meant to be simply as something that would help you in your prayer life. Now, maybe you're just going to start it. And maybe for you, it's getting up and praying for 5 minutes. Lord, help me this day. Go for it. Go for it. I do believe, though, that you'll grow in your daily time of prayer. And that you're going to come up with a system that works for you as the Holy Spirit leads you. See, that's what's beautiful. This isn't one size fits all. You have a personal relationship with God. He's going to show you. Okay, how about this? You wake up one morning. You're late. You get out of bed. You do the shower thing and you run out. You forget your prayer time. Oh, no. God's mad at me. I'm a creep. I've ruined it. Don't you dare play games like that. Don't you dare play games like that. God's not up in heaven. You missed your appointment. You miss a day? Get up the next morning. It's not meant to be this religious exercise for you. This legalistic thing. It's, you know what? It's meant to be a blessing in your life where you meet with God and you pour out your heart and you talk to him about everything. Okay, so we have this corporate venue and then you have the quiet time, the private time. There's one more venue that I want to mention to you tonight, and I'm about to put out a verse that's going to freak you out. I promise, it's going to freak you out. You ready? Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice always. And let's all read verse 17 out loud. Pray without ceasing. Okay, so you are to pray always. Pray continuously. Never stop praying. Say, what does that mean? What if I'm studying for a test? What if I'm involved in something that I have to think about? Are you telling me that I have to pray all the time? Do I have to check out of life and become a monk and go to a monastery and pray? No, please, that is not at all what this means. Listen very carefully. This is very important. My brother and sister in Christ, it means living every day, moment by moment, in an awareness of God's presence with you. It's living in the atmosphere of prayer. It's living in the atmosphere of God. Listen, as a born-again Christian, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. Okay? And what you want to do as a Christian, you want to live your life in that atmosphere, knowing where your thoughts are constantly drifting back to God. Okay, so you're studying for a test. Under your breath, you're praying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to remember this point. Include God in your study session. You're having a tough time at work. Here comes that person that is so difficult. Lord, help me with this person. Lord, help me to be kind. You're driving down the road. Put praise music on. As you're driving, sing praise. Pray your worship unto the Lord. Okay, so an ambulance comes flying by you. Lord, help those that are in need. Lord, please protect those first responders. See what we're talking about? Somebody cuts you off. Lord, give me patience. Give me love. Give me compassion. Bless that guy that just cut me off. Right? Bring everything to the Lord. Somebody's hurting at work. Lord, how can I bless this person? How can I approach this person? Include God in everything. Someone asks you a question about life. Lord, give me the right answer. Lord, help me to remember what your word says about this issue. You know, he's going to hear those prayers. And he's going to answer you. Relate everything in life back to God. Talk everything over with him. Share the day with him. You know, I often think about those disciples in the Gospels. I mean, they walked with Jesus 3.5 years. Think about that. Wouldn't that be cool to walk with Jesus for 3.5 years? To travel with him, to share meals with him, to minister with him. Did you know that Jesus is still walking with his disciples? You just don't see him. But he's with you. Share the day with them. May your mind be aware of his presence with you. One great theologian said, we need to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. So again, I would argue for a really good formal time in the morning, because it kind of sets the stage for the conversation that's going to take place all day. Right? So prayer. One of the four foundational activities of Christian growth. There is so much blessing in prayer. You know, as you pray, you'll experience the peace of God in your life. You know, as you pray, you'll be directed by Him. You'll see Him direct your life. As you pray, you'll grow closer to the Lord. As you pray, you'll get to know Him better. As you pray, you'll become more sensitive to Him in every moment of your life. As you pray to Him, you'll become more dependent upon Him, and you'll just grow. So dedicate yourself to it. And one of my favorite things about prayer is I believe God loves to show us that He's listening. You know, God has answered some of the most bizarre prayers of my life in ways that I knew He heard me talking. So back in college, I was studying to be an engineer. I was working with the Baptist Student Union. I was very busy. I'd come back to the Lord and was serving Him. And I took this one class with this really mean instructor. He was so hard. The material was so hard. And I'll never forget, there was this test that I was preparing for. And I literally studied 30 to 40 hours for this baby. It required that. And I was a good student, a straight-A student. And I wanted to make this happen. So I took the test. And I felt like I totally bombed it. Completely, totally bombed. I walked out of that exam so dejected. And I prayed this prayer to God. I said, God, change my exam. Lord, do something and just change the whole exam. And I remember I just prayed that prayer. Well, check this out. I got my exam back. And 40 in red, total fail. But then that was marked out. Next to it was 95. And I got an A, one of the only A's in the whole class. And so I went up and I talked to this mean professor about it. And he said, you know, when I first looked at your thing, you had these assumptions, and you went about the problem with these assumptions, not like what we've really discussed in class. But a few hours later, I got to thinking that I should take another look at your exam. And I noticed that you kind of went outside of the box thinking, and you had different assumptions, and you went a different direction. See, in engineering, you can have one problem that takes forever, and where you begin impacts the answer that you get. And I had gone this other direction that he hadn't seen. But he went back to it and he looked at it. I said, yeah, I'll take that. And I got a 95. God changed my exam. And I will tell you, after that discussion with my professor, I left there rejoicing in God. And I'll tell you, I heard God laugh. I heard God laugh. I hear your prayer, Terry. And I'll tell you what, when you discover that God hears your prayers, oh, you grow. This last July, we took our son 1,300 miles away. Connor's in Cookeville, Tennessee. And it was something that he felt like he needed to do, and he's following the Lord, and okay, all right, he quit a good job here. Dad's thinking, this isn't such a good idea, but okay, we'll go with it. And we packed him up. I put a U-Haul on the truck and went 3 days to Cookeville. And the whole time I'm thinking, Lord, is this right? And I remember as I got getting closer, we were getting closer to his apartment and stuff, getting about ready to pull into town. And I said, Lord, am I doing this? Is this good for Connor? Is he going to be all good? And I remember hearing the Lord say, everything's going to be all good. A few miles down the road, the first exit into Cookeville said, all good. A-L-G-O-O-D. So not double L, but it said all good. And that was enough for me. It was like literally God said, it's all good. When God hears your prayer, when God makes it known that he heard what only he could have heard, and he says to you, I know you. Spend time with me. Pour out your heart. Love me. Share your life with me. You'll grow. You'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger. So dedicate. Dedicate. Your time, spend time in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, help us never to lose sight of the privilege that prayer is. Lord, for many of us, we've known you for a long time. We've walked with you for many years. And I pray that this access that we have to you would never become old. Maybe renew our hearts for prayer. And I pray for those who are brand new, following you, just starting to, I pray that their prayer lives would blossom. Lord, guard it from becoming burdensome and nothing more than a religious exercise. I pray that it be real. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.